And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
I remember as a boy in school reading a story called The Lady and the Tiger. While I must admit I don't remember much about the details of the story, I do remember that a lady had to choose which of two doors she would open. Behind one lay safety, behind the other, a tiger. The doors looked alike, but the consequences attached to them were very different. In life, we make similar choices. Jesus even used the figure of a door to teach us the place of eternal safety. And that's our study today as we explore God's truth for the world. We're so happy that you've decided to join us today for our study of God's Word, and it is exactly that. It is a study period where we turn to God's Word, the Bible, to learn what He has revealed to us. We encourage you to take your Bible and maybe a pen and a piece of paper and sit down and get ready to study along with us. Bible study is a very important thing. We shouldn't do it haphazardly or just occasionally. Rather, it should be part of every day of our lives, and we're grateful that you have decided to make our study today part of your life. We began a study 2 weeks ago by looking at the fact that Jesus claimed to be the great I Am. That phrase, I Am, is very important because it shows a self-existent one. One who doesn't rely on others for his existence, but rather exists because he is able to exist himself. We found our reading from John chapter 8, beginning in verse 58, where Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." He exists just as God the Father exists because He is able. He doesn't rely on anyone else for that existence. We then looked at last week at Jesus as the Son of God, for He also made that claim. It occurs many times in the Bible, and although He's never referred to as the Son of God prior to coming in the flesh, that phrase is used often as He walked this earth. In John 10, verse 36, we read, "Do you say of Him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God?" You see, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, and the religious leaders of His day held Him accountable for so, even saying that He was blaspheming by making that claim. Well, it wasn't blaspheming because it was true. He is, in fact, the Son of God. This week we turn our attention to another occurrence in the book of John. This time Jesus is the door to safety. Now, there are many times in our lives where we need to be safe. In fact, the desire for safety or security is one of the greatest desires that all people share. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young. It doesn't matter what color you are, what language you speak, or what country you come from. All of us want to feel safe and secure. Even a child, from the very moment it is born, will look for a place that it can feel safe. When he finds that place, he's very content there. But outside of that place of security and safety, he's frightened and angry with the world. Hence the crying of a child. We find our text this week in John chapter 10 and verse 9, where Jesus simply says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Now in John 10, Jesus is using a number of figures of speech. In fact, this reference here is really an explanation of a lesson that he taught earlier in the chapter. Let's go back and read John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, and here we will see the lesson that Jesus is teaching. This illustration of the door is used to reinforce the lesson that we find here. John 10, beginning in verse 1. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, Jesus is trying to explain to them that not everyone has their best interest at heart. They understood what it was like to keep sheep. This particular area of the world was common for men to keep sheep. They understood that there were those who would try to steal their sheep, or maybe some wild animals that would try to come and eat their sheep. So the people understood what it meant to have a flock and for that flock to be kept safe or to be in danger. And Jesus is explaining about the sheepfold. Now, a sheepfold was usually an open structure in a field. During the time of the year that the weather would allow, The sheep would be rounded up at night and put in the sheepfold. It didn't have a roof. Sometimes it was just made out of bushes and hedges that had been built around it, and there was an open area. It was very common for the shepherd himself to sleep lying there in that open area so that the sheep would not go out without his knowing it, and nothing could get in to harm them unless they went past the shepherd first. Jesus is telling them that it is the shepherd who enters at the door of the sheepfold. Those who are thieves and robbers, they climb over. They're not the ones who come in at the door. Now, this explanation is seen in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 6. So, after noticing the lesson, let us now notice the explanation. John 10, beginning in verse 6. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again. Now, the first illustration confused them. Here he's giving them a second. Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, Jesus is telling them, first of all, his illustration was, the true shepherd enters at the door, the thief climbs over. He then changes that and says, not only do I enter by the door, but I am the door. I am the one through whom you find entrance. I am the way in and the way out. You see, Jesus describes an ideal place here. If you are a sheep, nothing could be better than to have the safety of the sheepfold and to have a door where you can go out and find pasture and come back in and find safety. Jesus is giving us the same lesson from a spiritual side. He is saying that if we enter through Him, then we can come into a place of safety, and we will have the provision of pasture made for us. We'll be able to eat what we need spiritually. We'll be able to live spiritually and to be in safety. Notice that there can only be one door. And if there's only one door, then all others, all who don't come in through that door, are thieves and robbers. It's also important for us to realize, from the standpoint of sheep, that if we are His sheep, we will answer to no other voice. You see, the analogy is used, the lesson is taught, of a shepherd who calls out to his sheep, and those who are his know his voice, and they follow him. Well, now, spiritually, we have the same situation. We have Jesus as the shepherd who calls out to us. And if we are His sheep, then we will recognize and follow His voice. We often see those who are called to by the gospel of our Lord. The gospel calls out and calls them to change and repentance, yet they do not answer. Such is the case with those who are not the Lord's sheep. But if when the gospel call is heard, if we turn our ear toward it and we follow it and obey it, then we are His sheep. It's also important for us to understand that safety is found only by entering through the door. There might be some who would try to enter the sheepfold without the door, but if they do, they're going to have to climb over. They're the robbers and the thieves. But there is not safety in trying to enter that way. A lamb could not climb its way through or try to jump over the sheepfold. He would be injured. There's only safety by entering through the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. So we've seen the lesson that Jesus taught. We've seen the illustration of that lesson. Now I'd like to notice the entrance that is provided by Jesus. For Jesus is, in fact, the door spiritually. Let's notice what Jesus allows us to enter. See, He is the one who grants us entrance, gives us access to all of the spiritual blessings that God intends for us to have. Now, Paul uses a very unique Greek word to show how Jesus provides us access to spiritual blessings. The word is a little bit difficult to pronounce, so I'll not bother with it, but I do want us to understand what it means. It means to bring to or to introduce. And that's what the Holy Spirit is telling us when he tells us that Jesus brings us to the Father and, in a sense, introduces us to Him. This is not questioning God's knowledge of us, but rather it shows that Jesus gives us access. He makes possible an audience we could never obtain on our own. Now, the Bible points out three specific things that we have access to through Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the point of entrance. Here are the things that He gives us access to. First of all, it is through Christ that we can enter into grace. We enter grace through Jesus. Notice, if you would, Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It is through Jesus that we have access into this grace. Paul told Titus in Titus 2 and verse 11 that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. But it is a fact that all men do not participate in that grace. It is only by entering into Christ that we have access to that grace. Oh, it's been shown to all men. It is available to all, but it is only by entering Christ we have access. Secondly, He gives us access to the Father. It is through the Christ, through the Son, that we have access to the Father. Notice, if you would, Ephesians chapter 2. We'll begin our reading in verse 18. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you who are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. It is by the fact that we have access to the Father through Christ that we are members of the family. We're members of the household. We are members of His family. We are sons and not servants. We need to understand that this is given to us only through Christ, by access. He grants us that access to the Father. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 we read that Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. There we have that same idea of introduction. It is Jesus who brings us to the Father. He introduces us to Him. He gives us access to Him. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except, notice this, through me. Jesus, again, is shown as being the point of access. So He gives us access to grace. He gives us access to the Father. And finally, then, He gives us the freedom to speak to the Father in prayer. This only comes to us from our Lord, for it is through Him that we pray to the Father. In Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 11, we read, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, notice this, we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. That Greek word there that is translated into the English word boldness means literally the freedom to speak. We have boldness. We have the freedom to speak to God through Christ. This is something that Jesus gives us access to. This is an entrance that He provides for us. This is a way that He introduces us to the Father, brings us into the presence of the Father by praying through Him. In Hebrews 4, the Hebrews writer is trying to teach us that through Christ we have a greater high priest than those of the Old Testament times had, for they had a man as a high priest, and we have the Son of God. In verse 15 there of chapter 4 we read, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He goes on in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews to begin writing in verse 5, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" You see, Jesus is the door of safety. If we recognize Him as that door of safety, and by obedience to His commands enter into that place of safety, the church, through Him, then we can come boldly to the Father. He is there, and we have the boldness, the freedom to speak, because He is, in fact, our Father. What do we conclude in this entire study then? Jesus is the one who enters through the door, meaning He's not a robber or a thief. In addition to that, not only does He enter through the door, He is the door. He is the way of entrance into all these spiritual blessings. Hebrews 10 tells us, beginning in verse 19, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." We can enter into Christ by being baptized into Him. It's the only way of entrance, in fact. We're told in Galatians chapter 3, beginning in about verse 26, that we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. "For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." It is baptism that is the point of entrance into Christ. Now, we might do many other things that are good and right and are obedient, but until we are baptized for the remission of our sins, we do not enter into Christ. All of the things that the Bible talks about as being in Christ are cut off from us until we enter into Christ. That can only be done by baptism. Have you been baptized? Have you entered into Christ? If you believe that He is in fact the Christ, the anointed of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins and confess with the mouth that you believe He is the Christ, then you can be baptized, and in doing so, enter into Him, be added to the church, His body, and be in that place of safety, having entered through Christ the door to safety.